The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Welcome back to The Dory Monson Show. David Bowe is filling in for Dory Monson here on 97.3 Cairo FM. Yesterday, we did this story about this young fella from Georgia who was he was speaking at age one, or just before his first birthday, reading at age two. He remembers being 2 years old and being in the first grade. He's graduated from high school at age 11. He was recruited by Georgia Tech, and now he's in college at age 12. His name's Caleb Anderson. It's just a great story. A lot of you are sharing it online. I posted it on my Facebook account there. And it's just a great picture. Anyway, it's really great because I keep seeing it. And, you know, every so often we see white supremacy in the news. Sometimes, you know, the real nasty people. Other times it seems to be the a political card that people are throwing at each other. It's kind of like when Joe Biden said Mitt Romney's going to put you all back in chains, you know, which is horrible. But I'm talking about the real evil kinds of folks there that are insistent on some kind of racial supremacy. I would just love them to see that story. I mean, I can just picture them saying, look, you know what? We're the master. Oh, yeah, never mind. We've been living this the wrong way. Because you look at this kid, he's smarter than anybody else in the room the whole time. There's just no way that you're walking away from that with that kind of idiocy if you can actually read and understand the story. There's pictures to it, so they should be able to get it at some point. Anyway, we've got it's time, of course, on The Big Show for The Big Lead.
The Big Lead, Dory Monson Show exclusive.
By the Republican contender in the gubernatorial race, Lauren Kolb. He's on the line with us. He's getting a little bit of momentum, I think, off of his debate with Governor Inslee. Mr. Kolb, thanks so much for making the time.
I appreciate it, Dave. It's good to be with you.
Yeah, I mean, I finally got a chance to see one of your rallies. You're in University Place, and I was driving by with my kids, and I thought, I didn't know there was a fair going on there. Looked like a great time, a lot of people having some fun, and then another friend of mine called me and said that he was driving a monster truck at one of your rallies. I think it's fair to say you're running a campaign that most Washingtonians are not used to.
Well, yeah, absolutely. I've been told that no one has ever seen this kind of a campaign in Washington or anywhere for that matter, other than at the national level. But we're holding rallies all across this state. We've been in Friday Harbor. We've been in Bellevue, Kent, all over King County. We were just in Lewis County last night. And the turnout is fantastic. People are getting sick and tired of the lockdowns and what this governor has done to businesses and families. And, you know, it's not just that. It's the entire mindset of our state government right now. You know, it's not got the servant role that it should have, and that's from the governor on down. You know, that so many departments that are under the governor that the department heads are appointed to, they're weaponized against the citizens. They're weaponized against our farmers, our ranchers, our timber companies, and homeowners. And I want to switch that completely, turn it completely on its head, and get the servant role back in our government to where we can be interacting in these departments with farmers and ranchers and homeowners and timber companies, you know, when they're seeking permits to make their farms better, so that they can supply food to citizens of Washington State and the world. We need the departments to work with them and get to a yes instead of always working against them, looking for a no.
So, yeah, in fact, I brought that up yesterday because there's a trampoline business that opened up in Spokane County. They were following all the rules for safety, but then because they're designated as an entertainment facility rather than an exercise facility, the state is shutting them down. And they employ 40 people. They've got an internet presence trying to get people to petition and media attention to stay open. And you think to yourself, there's no way government at the state or federal level should be choosing which businesses individually to shut down. They should have if anything, you have a public health rule or public health guidelines that people can follow and let people figure out how to do it rather than, you know, these overly burdensome top-down rules that are crushing your retirements, family dreams, potential college funds, and everything else. Just incredible that at this point in the shutdown that our state is still that inflexible to me.
Well, yeah, I brought this up in the debate with the governor last week, and he has paid with taxpayer money $164,000 a week to a global consulting company to tell him what to say, how to act with this virus. And it doesn't make sense to anyone. But that $164,000 a week, I did not misspeak, of taxpayer money on a no-bid contract. And it doesn't, you know, it doesn't make sense to people that you can go to a big box store with 150 or 200 people in it, but you can't go to a barber shop where you're the only customer to get your haircut. And not only has he made these arbitrary rules, but he has put teeth into it with the health department going and L&I going around the state, finding small businesses up to $10,000 a day if they don't comply. It's absolutely ridiculous. And we know, you know, the World Health Organization just came out a few days ago, last week, I believe, and said that lockdowns should not be used as a primary method of controlling this virus and keeping people safe. But our current governor is ignoring that. He hasn't said a word about it. We need to get this government off of our backs. You know, I firmly believe that the government should help protect people. But when I'm governor, I won't decide who's essential, who's not essential. Everyone is. I will have press conferences with medical professionals to explain to everyone what's going on, what we should do to protect ourselves, and then keep the supply chain as open as possible for equipment that we need, and then let free individual citizens decide what's best for themselves, their family, and their business. Because you can't tell me that a barber or a salon or a mom-and-pop cafe can operate as safely as a big box store. It makes absolutely no sense.
Well, amen to that. I mean, there's a point of absurdity. Even the Atlantic has a story we covered the other day about, you know, schools not being the super spreaders that they were thinking of. They've got a lot of data to back that up now, and that, you know, that there are ways, you know, to do things. Or at the very least, you should open up to the possibility of letting locals figure out how they can do things safely and what level of risk they're willing to take. One of the frustrations I have with the governor's the gubernatorial races is in Washington State. I feel like the national media covers the presidential race on a daily horse race kind of basis. But I feel like the gubernatorial race and the other races for statewide offices in Washington State, you know, they don't get that same kind of coverage. And even with the debate between you and Governor Inslee, you know, we saw, you know, if you tuned in, you'd see it. But there's not a lot of aftermath. There's not a lot of clips being shown. Maybe it's my own social media feed or anything, but I'm wondering if you share that sense of frustration or if you've had a different media experience pre or post debate.
No, absolutely not. You can tell that there is definitely an agenda with the left-wing media because after the debate, there was a couple mentions of it, but it's been pretty much silent. And if anybody has watched the debate, and you can find it on YouTube, I've got a YouTube channel, Cult for Governor, lots of videos on there. But the debate, it's clear to anyone, you know, with a IQ above room temperature that I kicked his behind in that debate. And I'm not saying that to brag. I'm saying that to point out that common sense, normal we the people type of person, you know, not a political type of person, not the establishment candidate or anything, just a normal person with common sense kicked a career politician's butt. And I'm not talking once, but on every topic that we had. You could tell by his body language that he wanted to get out of there, and he wanted to get out of there quick. But yeah, the media has all but ignored that debate. They would not have ignored it if Inslee would have had a good showing, but he did not. He got his behind handed to him.
I'm not even sure they wouldn't ignore it if Inslee had a good showing, because I think that there's just kind of this attitude that, hey, we've had about 40 years of Democrats that have been controlling the governor's office, and that's just kind of the way it goes. So, you know, these state races aren't that interesting. And it's tough to get that information and the point of views out there. I'd say an exception is Brandi Cruz. Her program, The Divide, on Q13 does a pretty solid job, and she was following it up with Inslee. And I saw that you were tweeting some response to that. Governor Inslee was claiming that you were denying climate change, and you said, I didn't deny climate change. I also didn't shut down state fire response training and let 1 million acres burn, which I laughed out loud when I saw the tweet. But I also noted in the same interview where he was dismissing your followers as Trumpians, I noted that he also took you on and said, well, you know, I'm for gun safety and he's not. And it struck me as a pretty bold statement from a guy who claimed he didn't know what was going on in the CHOP zone. And then turns out now he claims that he did know, but he was just lying to us the first time, or as he put it, misspoke. And then in that CHOP zone, we watched video of people passing out what they would call assault weapons to people without any background check. They just asked, are you 18? To people who didn't look like, or looked like they might not be 18, and passed them out on the streets in a highly charged environment. And the governor did diddly squat about that. And this is the guy lecturing you on, and the rest of us on gun safety. You know, and the, by the way, the murders in the CHOP zone, they had their own security forces running around. You know, where this guy is the guy lecturing you on gun safety. It's just incredible to me. And to me, there's a decent follow-up from the media on that one, too.
Yeah, he's out of touch with what's going on in the real world. You know, and I handed him this information on a silver platter, and to everyone else, too, that when the governor takes office, when any public servant takes office, they raise their right hand, they swear an oath to uphold and defend the Constitution of the state of Washington and the federal Constitution. And it is very clear in Article 1, Section 1, that the power is inherent in the people and government is there to protect citizens' rights. And then in Article 1, Section 24, the right of the individual citizen to bear arms in defense of himself or the state shall not be impaired. And those are very clear. And when I raise my right hand and take an oath to uphold and defend the Constitution, I mean it. I mean it. But Jay Inslee is supported by dark money and special interest groups. He's received through the back channel from the Democrat Party almost $2 million in donations to his campaign. And that's from very large dollar donors that go to the straight to the Democrat Party and donate, and then they turn right around and give it to Jay Inslee. But he is controlled by people that he gets large donations from. Look at the appointment that he made to the Employment Security Department, a large dollar donor that's in that position where they lost hundreds of millions of dollars of taxpayer money and didn't get employment checks out to Washington working people. And that person is not fired. No one is held accountable. That person who is a large dollar donor to Jay Inslee's campaign is still the head of Employment Security. He's controlled by people that have a lot of money. I am controlled by no one. I've received donations to my campaign to the tune of over $3 million from small dollar donors. The average is $80 per donation. And I have one special interest group when I'm Olympia, and that is the special interest group of We the People. That's who I am. That's who's supporting my campaign, and that's who I'm going to represent.
Final question for you. As you know, Western Washington polls show you a big show you behind, or at least the latest Elway poll showed you way behind in King County and the Seattle metropolitan area, which is, you know, key to an electoral victory. The governor is trying to tie you in and say, look, a vote for Lauren Culp is the same. He's exactly the same as Donald Trump because he's playing off of the dislike of Trump in these areas. And I know you've spoken on behalf of Donald Trump, but for people who dislike Trump and they don't like Trump, they'd never vote for him in a billion years. Why should they still consider you?
I'm running for governor of Washington State. I'm not running for president. Jay Inslee acted like he was in a debate with President Trump during our debate. But I'm going to represent all of the people of Washington State. And I like what President Trump has done in lowering unemployment for minorities and women, the lowest in the history of our nation, bringing jobs back, making trade deals that are good for Americans, bringing jobs back from China. Those are all great things, and everyone should embrace that. You know, whether you like his personality or not, that's beside the point. I didn't vote for him to be my pastor. I voted for him to bring these jobs back, get the unemployment rates down, and bring manufacturing back to our state so we're more self-reliant. People just need to overlook the personality and look at what he has actually done. So, like I said, I'm running for governor of Washington State. I'm going to represent all of the citizens of Washington State. It doesn't matter a person's color. Doesn't matter their age, their income, their education. Everyone, when the Constitution is followed by our government and our governor, everyone is protected equally under the law. We don't have arbitrary decisions being made like it's being made with this governor on who's essential, who's not. Everyone is essential. Everyone is protected under the rule of law. And I will abide by my oath of office. And every department head that I put into office under me will understand the servant role of our government. And they will abide by the Constitution and realize that we need to help citizens, not hinder them.
Well, Lauren Culp, candidate for governor of the state of Washington and a police chief of Republic Washington, thanks so much for making the time, and looking forward to seeing you out there on the trail again.
Thank you very much. And my website is culpforgovernor.com, also on Facebook and YouTube. If people are interested in seeing what I stand for, YouTube videos are all broken down into subject matter. Culp for Governor. Thank you very much for the time.
Hey, thank you, sir. All right, David Bowes in for Dory Monson here on 97.3 Cairo FM. David Bowes in for Dory Monson here on 97.3 Cairo FM. I've been telling everybody who will listen, but most don't, left or right. I've been saying, look, you don't have to disrupt family and friendships, relationships because of the presidential race. In Washington State, it will be decided by 8:01 a.m. on the day of the election. Guaranteed. Because this state is not a contender. We are one of those states where it will go for the Democrat in the presidential race, and it's easy to see. And I know people get mad at me. They'll, you know, get emails like I did in 2016. Now they'll be saying, I saw a poll that showed Trump was going to take it by a percentage point. And they never email me afterward and say, you know what, turns out I was getting a BS poll. All they wanted to do was to take my money for a donation. Which, by the way, that's the actual function for Washington State. It's a piggy bank for the presidential election. Democrats can come here and get money from the faithful. They don't have to spend money here for the presidential race. Republicans can, well, they're probably not going to come here because it's pressed for time. But if they do send anybody here, it's to bring money out and put it in a state where there's contention. And, you know, maybe if there's other candidates or if in the future, you know, we haven't really been all that competitive since Reagan, which is a long time. So anyway, but yet people get obsessed and they're on their social media and they're talking about how, you know, they're waging war against one side or the other on that score. And I get it because a lot's at stake. It's the national leadership. But then you'll see people who just bring it too far and they believe a hyperbole that doesn't make sense and they should know better. Thus, we go to County Prosecutor, Island County Prosecutor Greg Banks. Jason Rance has a good post at MyNorthwest.com. He captured some of the Island County Prosecutor Greg Banks' postings on Facebook, which, by the way, it's since gone private, I guess. And he wrote, "Stand back and stand by, white supremacists. Stand by until what? Until he gives the word to attack?" So it's not what Donald Trump said. It's a false quote there, also a misspelled quote. But anyway, false quote there. And then Mr. Banks says the terrifying part is 38% of voters don't see anything wrong with that. Even after we flush Trump, we have a difficult job to cleanse society of their diseased thinking. Now, to assume that you've got 38% of the people that are really standing by for a white supremacy is just obscene and absurd. It's an insult. He says, I didn't mean to insult my friends or family. I've had this happen before where a colleague at one point described the right-wingers as Nazis. And I got upset. And I said, well, how can you say that? You know me, my friends, my family. I've got, you know, friends and family who are conservatives. And, you know, I found it vile. And I was easily forgiven for me because I try not to hold grudges, but it's a weird thing to me to dismiss everybody that way. As I've related before, I have family members that are, you know, very liberal. My grandmother was very, very liberal and we had great discussions and I loved her. And I would, you know, I wouldn't throw her aside for anybody, and I certainly wouldn't, you know, just dismiss her as.
All right. Dave Bose, are you there? Hey, Nicole.
I'm here.
All right. Looks
Dave's
like
gone, huh?
Dave just tapped out. He must have caught that train that keeps showing up in the background.
Okay, well, let's go to break. We'll come back with awesome audio, and he can finish up what he was thinking here.
David Bowes in for Jory Monson here on 97.3 Cairo FM. Don't know how I dropped. I could hear everybody. But, you know, it reminds me of my family holiday dinners. I start a story, and then everybody else just kind of fades away. And pretty soon, I'm talking to myself. That's how it works. Anyway, we're talking about the Island County prosecutor. Jason Rance has a great story on MyNorthwest.com. He's basically calling for, you know, a cleansing of society from the disease thinking of 38% of voters, assuming the worst. They're all white supremacists and horrible. And again, this trend we have toward labeling all political opponents as evil in motivation and horrible people instead of having different ideas, it cleanses you of the necessity of actually having a debate about policy or of even considering the other side's policy to decide would the results be better there? Is that a better approach? Because instead you can say, well, this is just they're pure evil. Their motivations are evil. Why would I listen to them? And you don't have to. You can just toss it all away. And, you know, I've been telling people that are obsessed with Trump as Hitler that does not make sense. You know, I've got news for you. Dictators don't like deregulation for the most part because that transfers power away from them. It just does not fit. So you might think Trump is boorish, he's crass, rude, maybe he lacks social graces and various other things. But these kind of hardcore declarations of sinister evil don't fit. So, you know, again, it's developing to be a big problem. Now, the bigger problem here isn't, you know, the president. It's you've got a prosecutor talking this way. The attorney general just fired some prosecutor in the state office because he left that line on the receipt saying, you know, I saw a BLM button on the waitress, therefore no tip. You know, so he makes this political stance. They don't like it. This Island County prosecutor has been posting galore and is apparently under the assumption that, you know, that's a swing district. So half or more than half of the people that he serves are evil and have to be cleansed, purged, re-educated. You know, are you going to get a fair shake there? I think, you know, it's a question. And if the AG's got to fire somebody for that, does this guy need to resign? Is the AG going to call for him to resign? Be interesting to know. All right, let's. We had to finish up that so I can finish up my train of thought before we move into our awesome audio.
This is Dory Monson's awesome audio clips of the day.
Well, what's an awesome audio without Donald Trump? And at first, I thought maybe it would be the CNN's been making news on its own of late for a couple of different reasons, some of which you'll hear here. And you know, the other day we were playing cuts of Jim Acosta, who was surrounded by people yelling that CNN sucked, and his response was,
"I say sometimes jokingly."
You know, it also really sucks, he said. Getting the COVID virus. Well, Donald Trump is not going to let that stand all by itself. He was once again reminding people of the sins of CNN.
I say sometimes jokingly, sarcastically, everybody gets a free Rolls Royce, to which CNN says, they don't get a free Rolls Royce. He has misrepresented. You know, these people are sick. They don't get a free Rolls Royce. The president has misrepresented. Oh, they are sick people.
Well, I think we can safely say that since Bill Clinton had the whole MTV, what kind of underwear do you wear? The dignity of the office is just about shot. So, but anyway, CNN has had problems. Everybody, I think, what's the popular internet joke? Without airports, they'd have no audience. But you know, again, so I don't think that that's necessarily the approach that, that best helps the president, although I happen to agree with the sentiment of the crowd there. It's it is a network that has been increasingly difficult to watch for many reasons. But the real golden audio from President Trump was his appeal to suburban women who right now are a demographic that he has lost a whole lot of favor in, and he's trying to make a broader appeal. How does he decide to do it? Like this.
So can I ask you to do me a favor? Suburban women, will you please like me? Remember? Please. Please. I saved your damn neighborhood, okay?
Yeah. Please. Please like me. I got your damn neighborhood. And then he kind of goes on from there and talks about it. He used to say suburban housewives, but now he says suburban women because people are mad about that and he didn't mean it that way. So, you know, it's a little politically incorrect. It's just the kind of thing that makes you cringe a little bit because you're thinking, you know, there's a lot at stake for you and you've kind of already won the crass crowd. So why not branch off a little bit? It reminds me of Adam Carolla's description of Asperger's syndrome where, you know, people thought that or I think it was Drew Pinsky thought Carolla was on the spectrum of people who, you know, say things that might be inappropriate. I often wondered why nobody has speculated about that with Donald Trump, because he seems to just say whatever pops into his head, no matter what, and you know, nobody's ever speculated in that way, except for me. So I'm just doing a little speculation now, not to insult anybody or anything, but it just if Carolla was right about that and he was on the spectrum, I would love to hear what Dr. Drew has to say about Donald Trump. Anyway, that brings us to the next piece of awesome audio, and this time it's Nancy Pelosi versus CNN.
Do you have any idea of how
woefully
short their concern?
That's why it's so important right now. Yesterday I spoke to Andrew Yang, who says the same thing. It's not everything you want,
but, you know
but
what?
There's a lot
okay.
there.
Honest to God, you really, I can't get over it, because Andrew Yang, he's lovely. Ro Khanna, he's lovely. They are not negotiating this situation. They have no idea of the particulars. They have no idea of what the language is.
So she's getting frustrated and angry because Wolf is quoting other Democrats saying, hey, we need a deal. Trump's got this $1.8 trillion stimulus package. What's a trillion between friends? A stimulus package. Pelosi's still holding out. And you've got other Democrats saying, look, people cannot wait until February. We've got to get this done. And, you know, you just can't wait until, you know, until some new Congress takes hold. It's got to happen. And she's frustrated and angry that anybody isn't just standing in her corner. And then she basically tells Wolf Blitzer, you don't know what you're talking about.
We're going to get a deal. And when we do, it will be retroactive. It will be retroactive.
Here's what you wrote in a letter to House Democrats, Madam Speaker. And I ask these questions only, as you know, so many millions of Americans are suffering
right
now.
Well, you quote two people who know nothing about the agreement.
Well,
there is no agreement. But what the suggestions are, as if there's some authority on the subject. Please, give equal weight to all of the chairmen on the committee who have written this bill.
But so many of your fellow Democrats in the House, they want a deal right now.
No, that isn't.
The problem solvers, they all want a deal right now.
Yeah.
And here's what they're complaining about, because you wrote a letter to House Democrats and you said this. Let me read a line from the letter you wrote. The president only wants his name on a check to go out before Election Day and for the market to go up. Is that what this is all about? Not allow the president to take credit if there's a deal that will help millions of Americans right now?
He's not that important. But let me say this. With all due respect, and you know we've known each other a long time, you really don't know what you're talking about.
I think that was the giveaway. Wolf Blitzer has not exactly been known as a Republican toady in his career. I mean, come on. When he asks about, hey, is this just about denying Trump a political win? And she kind of cringes and says, oh, he's not even that important. Of course he is. I mean, he's vitally important. She spends a heck of a lot of time focused on Trump. Heck, Trump is extremely important in Washington State. It makes it so that Washington State Democrats don't have to run for local office. They just keep pointing to Trump and saying, don't you hate this guy? Vote for me. You know, don't look at what's going on in state policy. Don't look at local policy. Don't look at the accomplishments of individual legislator. They want you to make decisions based on the other guy because they know he's unpopular here. And Pelosi is desperate because they know that Trump, with Trump comes power. And get rid of Trump, more power goes to her. And especially with, my guess is Biden would be a weak president and he would look for leadership among Congress. Remember when President Obama, he was implementing his biggest health care policy and he basically kicked the can over to Pelosi and others saying, yeah, go ahead and do that. You know, take care of it. Do the details. So, of course, Pelosi values Trump. So when she says, oh, no, he's not that important, then, you know, she's lying. And you know that, yes, she does not want a political victory for him because while the claim is that he's got a 74% chance of winning the presidency significantly, they don't want to risk it at this point. So Pelosi ends the conversation.
And it's not about me. It's about millions of Americans who can't put food on the table, who can't pay the rent.
And we represent them. And we represent them.
Getting by these long food lines that we're seeing. I know you are.
We know them.
I'm just saying.
We represent them and we know them.
As we say.
We know them. We represent them.
Don't let the perfect be the enemy of the good, as they say.
It is nowhere near perfect.
Madam Speaker.
Always the case, but we're not even close to the good.
All right. Let's see what happens, because every day is critically, critically important.
She's losing some patience, and I seriously doubt she spends a whole lot of time with the economically downtrodden. I mean, come on. Besides that, remember, she's most famous of late for having the special haircut, special opening of a hair salon just for her. That's not exactly, you know, suffering with the masses, so to speak. All right. The true awesome audio of the day comes from the Supreme Court of the United States confirmation hearings. Right now, where Judge Amy Barrett is being asked questions about the term sexual preference.
You use the term sexual preference to describe those in the LGBTQ community. Sexual preference is an offensive and outdated term.
I would like to just make a quick follow-on to some of Senator Hirono's comments. I certainly didn't mean and, you know, would never mean to use a term that would cause any offense in the LGBTQ community.
I'm just tired of everybody running around trying to find some reason to be offended, which is what this is basically about. Some people have preferences, some orientations. Some people are calling for this, some people are calling for that. They're moving the goalposts like Lucy and Charlie Brown. And so, you know, because she's a Republican nominee, it's an offensive term. There's a whole lineup of Democrats that use sexual preferences. You know, if it doesn't apply to you, put it away. If you're offended, too bad. She was also asked about whether or not she sexually assaulted or harassed anybody by the same senator. We won't even play that now, but it is a farce. It is ridiculous. And my word, we've got to get over this idea that if you're offended, somehow you're empowered and you're entitled to, you know, destroying the lives of other people. David Bowes in for Dory Monson here on 97.3 Cairo FM.
I told you my deepest, darkest secrets. I showed you exactly what people are capable of. I shocked you with my honesty, but mostly I challenged you and made you think. conclusions can be so deceiving.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're really a fantastic audience.